Well, what day is Thursday, November 13, 2025, and this is the week in charts. I'm sure I thank all you guys and girls for attending. My apologies. I still do a really poor job of putting the word out. That's very low on the priority list. It's like, oh, I gotta work on the show, I gotta do this, gotta do that. And I always forget to promote the show. So if you're ever looking for a show, DaveLeonard.com/webinar. YouTube, I'm having trouble with because they changed the software. So you might as well, for now, at least go to DaveLeonard.com/webinar to sign up. Sign up once, you're signed up for all. And we'll get YouTube working soon. I need to get back on the phone with technical support. They upgraded the software. Upgraded the software. I use that term loosely. All right, enough complaining. What are we going to talk about? Well, current market conditions. Boy, we'll have a lot to say about that, especially given current action at the moment. Your favorite stock crypto picks. I'm going to continue with the methodology and action. And there's a lot of little details, and I'm going to flesh out as many as I can today. And eventually, I want to do a show on the nuances of what it really means to actually do this. And I think that's an important missing piece. But as I would say quite a bit, seeing someone actually do trades, real trades, is a huge thing. Anyway, we'll get to that in just one second. Disclaimer screen, as you know, you can lose money trading, or as I have to sum it up, all predictions about the future and a lot of stuff can happen between now and then. There's all my contact information. You can also reach me at dave@davelandry.com. All right, as I've been saying ad nauseam, the missing piece for me early on, and I think for any trader out there, especially somebody who's very new to trading, is to somebody to actually show you real trades ahead of time. Okay, look, I'm going to take this trade. I'm going to get in here. I'm going to stop out here. And here's my initial profit target. Anybody can cherry pick a few big winners. And yeah, I do that a little bit in some of these presentations. But the bottom line is, and I do also show you everything from the trading service, good, bad, and indifferent over the past, oh, I don't know how many years I've been doing the methodology in action, but for quite some time, even before it was called that. But anyway, as I've said again and again and again and again, seeing someone many, many, many years ago actually make trades and actually be profitable at this was very important. So let's do that. All right, let's talk about the mystery charts and the methodology in action. So this is a gold stock, TFPM. And it was a really nice uptrend. And also, if you look back here at accelerating this uptrend, I would recommend you go back to these old shows, older shows. So in this case, you go back to April and early May to see some of these stocks that triggered way back then. By the way, for those of you who are new to me or my methodology, I'm slotted as a swing trader because that's what I put on one or two of my books in the title. But the reality is, I'll hold a stock as long as it moves in my favor. And as long as it moves in my favor is defined by being stopped out with a trailing stop. Anyway, entries there, stop down there, initial profit target up here. And this is one that's rallied up and died out quite a bit. And somebody in the Facebook group was saying they read where your best trades are profitable from day one. Well, yeah, that's probably true. But if you got out of every trade that went against you as opposed to following the plan, you never would catch any big winners. And it seems like trades always kind of go against you. And it's something I'm kind of trying to flesh out. There's an old adage of the short side, all shorts initially go against you. But on the long side, too, quite a bit, you will get some backing and filling. The timing doesn't always work perfectly in this game, as you know. So a lot of these things that are kind of neat to know, aren't really applicable. And I think if anything, they could put you into a state of regret because you're thinking like, oh man, I'm in this stock 2 weeks and I'm losing money. And I read where you're supposed to be profitable from day one. Well, in an ideal world, yeah. But a lot of times stocks will back and fill a little bit and then take off. And that's perfectly normal. Anyway, so in this case, rallied up, hit the IPT. We banked 1K per 100K. The model account is based on 100K. Stop comes to break even. So the worst you could do, barring overnight gaps, would be to scratch out on the remainder. And so far, so good. In this particular case, we survived the drawdown. Now, one thing I want to get into eventually, maybe after all these trades end and things quiet down for a minute, and we could be quieted down with the market kind of going through this transitional phase as it is now. But I do want to catch up on some things, and I'll show you a little bit of this in a minute. But like, for instance, up here at 34, you had a lot more money than you did down here. Okay. Now, knock on wood, and probably today notwithstanding, but knock on wood, this stock has come back quite a bit since. And I hate to use the word hope, but hopefully we've survived this correction. And ideally, as that stop widens out over time, you survive these peaks, these troughs and pullbacks along the way. But anyway, so far so good in there, knock on wood. And let's see, there it is right there in the portfolio. And this is a day or two old. But you can see pretty good run on the first low of 950. We're shooting for about 1,000. It probably triggered on a slight gap, if memory serves. Yeah, it did, about 10 cents higher on a gap. And the good thing about this one is that we got in a fairly low price. It was in the teens, and now it's in the mid-20s. And this is how you could build wealth over time. And we've had a few run quite a bit, like this Inu AI. Now, this one's actually pulled back quite a bit. But you can see 100%, 114% was open here. If this turns into, let's say, we could dream, right? But if it rallies like 10 points or so, then you've got 1,000, 1,100 shares and change. That's a lot of shares I have open. So even right here at 500 shares, if this thing goes into the 30s and 40s, et cetera, that could really become a huge position over time. And that's the ultimate goal with these, is to hang on as long as possible. So here's KGC. Here's the one we just looked at in the portfolio. There's all the parameters, entry 1450, stop 1250, initial profit target at 1650. Under members resources, under members area, you can grab this spreadsheet if you want. It's going to be blank, but you can put in all your information. You'll be using the same exact spreadsheet as me. And so all you need right here is your entry and your protective stop, and then the IPT, the risk, and everything else is calculated for you. Anyway, this is another gold stock. And again, go back to April, late April, early May, if you want to see these when I first talked about them live. Entries there, stop down there, initial profit target. This is another one that was dead money forever. I've done plenty of presentations just on this one and others like it, but it finally hit the IPT, so you bank $1,000 when that happens, and then you trail that stop loosely on the remainder. Now, this one came dangerously close to that trailing stop, and this is a testament for follow your plan. I mean, provided it goes on and bangs out some new highs. But so far, so good that they're in the golds. And usually golds don't really trend that long. It's like you usually get a big euphoria in the golds, and everybody kind of forgets about them. They move on to other areas. They don't become these longer term momentum stocks as a general statement, but gold has done really well for quite some time. Okay, I want to talk about discretion versus no discretion. Here's a trade I did use discretion on, and I actually didn't take the trade, and I'll show you why. So this was a good looking setup though. Nice persistency, nice acceleration. This is a fairly clean trading stock, or really clean trading stock for one of these crazy digital mining type of stocks, crypto type of mining stock. Anyway, so there's parameters down below. Entries here, stop is here, initial profit target is up here. And let's see what happens. So it rallies up, and on this day here, and I've talked about this quite a bit, and if you can't sleep at night, go and watch prior presentations. But on this day here, when a market closes strongly, like toward the top of its range, like right here, there's a really good chance it's going to follow through, but there's no edge after the open. Okay, that's based on Connor's research, and I've seen it quite a bit. So everybody that brother is buying going into the close, and some people who didn't get it on the next day, they're like, oh, I might have missed it. They see it's higher, they just pile in, and sometimes that creates an opening gap reversal, like it did here. Now, this one was fairly cut and dry. It gaps open, it comes right back in. So I made a discretionary call and I did not take the trade. Now, if you took the trade because of the gap opening, you got it a little higher than intended, okay? And then you lost a little bit more than 1K per half loaf. So that would be 2K total plus 89, 89. So it's like 20, about $2,200 loss on the trade. Okay, it happens. Not everything works, obviously. You can see we're risking 2% on 100K. So that's $2,000 per trade. Our risk got a little bit out of line, but that's okay. Now, the ultimate goal, obviously, is to make 1,000 in the first loaf and then hang on to the second loaf. And you can see right here, 141% gain, and hopefully for a long, long time. We'll come back to that one in a second. So it did give up some of those gains. Anyway, here's another one that I use discretion on, but I wanted to show you that sometimes discretion is a good thing and sometimes it doesn't work, obviously. So anyway, there's the parameters down below, NRGV. So entries here, stop is here, initial profit target is up here. Now, it gapped higher and made kind of a fast move on the open, but then came right back in. So in a case like this, it just kind of barely got above the entry on a fast move and it comes right back in. So in a case like that, usually I let things open a little bit and sometimes I'm forced to jump in if they keep on going, if they open up and keep on going. But a lot of times you'll get these reversals very early in early trading. And the ultimate goal is like no capital gets put into harm's way, like the Hive trade, because of the opening gap reversal, I didn't take the trade. Now, if you did take the trade, like somebody in the Facebook group was saying, oh man, I took it. That's okay. If that's what you're doing, if you're following things sort of mechanically, and if you're new to my methodology, or if you're newer to trading, I would highly recommend you follow something that's a little bit more, or follow something on a little bit more mechanical basis. So I give you the entry to stop, the initial profit target, then by all means, look at that plan and use that plan, and that is your plan, okay? If you're a little bit more advanced, then you can make these opening gap reversal in other type of discretionary calls. Now, this gentleman was like, oh man, I took the trade. It's like, that's okay. If you're following things mechanically and that's what you've been doing, keep doing that. Be consistent and continue to do things mechanically. Just begin to learn slowly, okay, and methodically about how and when you might be able to use a little discretion to improve results longer term. So he was bummed out that he took the trade. I was like, don't be bummed out. You made a decision. This is a decision. You're going to live with that decision as opposed to like get out later in a day. Okay. Don't do that. Don't make too many decisions. Make your one decision going in and then stick with it, good, bad, or indifferent. And you can see the next day, nice rally higher. Okay. This is a one-day wonder, unfortunately, but it rallied up, hit that initial profit target, came right back in. So that's a 1K move per 100K, 26.67%. In one day. That's much better than the poke in the eye. As I preach ad nauseum, if the worst you ever did, and believe me, you're going to do worse, okay? But if the worst you ever did was the better in the poke in the eye trade, and then you caught a few winners along the way, you would own the world within a few years, okay? So nothing wrong with the better than the poke in the eye trade. I like to scream next after I catch one. I did not catch that one. So in this particular case, on the model account at least, I saved myself a couple thousand dollars at least. But not trading, taking one trade, but then I was unable to participate in this other trade. Okay. Now I do try to follow things as mechanically as possible, but because I've been doing this for a while, I will use discretion when I think it's necessary, and especially if it's fairly obvious. And I will put that out in the Facebook group that hey guys, be careful on this one. I'm gonna go ahead and use some discretion or whatever. The other thing I do too is if you can't sleep at night, go in and watch the service archives. And I just updated them, davelearner.com/archives. So you can check them out there. You can also get the newer ones on YouTube, davelearner.com. I'm sorry, youtube.com/DaveLandry. And if I say so myself, it's a good exercise in going through these trades and what I'm saying beforehand. And like on that one, that was very close, that closed very high in the range. You knew there's a high probability that stock's gonna gap open, but you don't know if it's gonna hold and keep going. So you got to be really careful around the open in those type of situations. But I go in the night before, if I see a potential discretionary thing happening for the next day, especially like at a strong close with the entries really close to the close, then I'll point out to everybody. Hey guys, here's a heads up. You're likely going to have to do some sort of discretion on this trade. So anyway, for those who follow mechanically, it turns you a better than the poke in the eye type of trade. Now, this is one And I didn't get this chart updated, but this is from last week, but I'll show you what's going on here. So that was the parameters, a couple thousand shares. And then I'm pointing out it's crazy. It is crazy. HV is like 300 and something on this one now. So entry, protective stop, and initial profit target. Now, here was one of those one-day wonders where you got paid in the first day, which is really nice. However, I'd actually prefer stocks to sort of take their time within reason getting to that profit target, because it's very hard to sustain a 30% move or whatever this is on this particular day. And you can see it came back in a little bit, but fortunately, we were able to survive with a protective stop. Now, this is left over from last week, as I said a second ago, and that number has come down significantly. So now it's 26, 56, 116% open. Now, that's tough, letting those open profits draw down like that. But if you want to participate longer term and you want to catch, now it's kind of elusive, but the occasional, and I know I'm not supposed to say it's elusive, but it can be the outliers. But that's what we live for, and that's where our money is really, really made. Okay. But if you want to catch the occasional 500%, 1,000% trade, you have to be willing to live with those open profit drawdowns. And that's something that I preach quite often. Curtis Faith was talking about Richard Dennis. And when the Turtles, who were a group of traders they put together, it's like I forget that people don't know who the Turtles are. I read the first Market Wizards, but they made a lot of money. They were in the right place at the right time. And I don't want to take too much away from them, but a lot of them had a hard time with the trend following afterwards. But anyway, long story of this. Faith was saying that Dennis was okay when somebody had open profit drawdowns, losses to open profits, because he knew that came with the territory. And it's kind of hard because we all kind of mentally monetize, you know, up at this peak here. I forget how much money it was, but it was a lot. Okay. And you're like, oh, I got all this money. And then the next day, or by the end of the day, you're giving up thousands of the money. So of those profits, I should say. So it can be tough, but it comes with the territory. Now, it's just something that you have to learn how to live with. And that's something that I want to flesh out over time, all the nuances of how hard it could be mentally to do this. But once you understand, it's like, okay, this is a fact of life. I'm going to have to deal with this certain aspect. And it doesn't make it super easy to deal with, right, when the time comes. But at least you're expecting it. All right. Any questions at all that? I don't even know how to get the questions now. So we have to see. Is this questions chat? Okay, we'll see. Maybe it'll come up. Here we go. Questions. All right, fantastic. All right, we had a pretty good opening gap reversal last Friday. And this chart, as I've been saying quite a bit, is kind of a textbook. This was an actual opening gap reversal. I forget which trade it was. Maybe LMNN. I don't remember. But anyway, this is kind of textbook in nature. Okay. Nice persistent uptrend. Stocks just going straight up. It falls completely out of bed. Okay. Finds its low and then rallies back by the end of the day. So this is the KRMN. And you can see that this stock was at a really nice longer term trend. If you back this chart way out, that trend goes back forever, okay? With some consolidation in between, but for the most part, it just worked its way higher for a long, long, long time. Now, it gaps lower, and it's great these situations where they gap lower and then keep on going lower without a significant rally, because that makes the trade a little bit more of a no-brainer. And you can see it reversed and had the mother of all rallies, like about a 5 or 6 point rally. Now, this is a 5 minute chart. I'm going to show you a 30 minute chart in a minute. And that's what I've worked my way up to. As I've said ad nauseam, I was trading E-minis once. And I was just kind of chasing my own tail for day after day after day and make a little, lose a little, make a little, lose a little. And then I fat figured the chart somehow. And put a 15-minute chart on as opposed to a 5-minute chart. And I went about 3 days without a trade. I made a trade, made a little money. And then a few days later, it's like, what? How come I'm not getting any trades? I was chasing my tail the last few weeks. And then it finally dawned on me that I was looking at a little bit longer time frame on the chart, and I wasn't getting sucked into the flickering ticks, so to speak. So I now use a 30-minute chart, just FYI, on intraday. I try not to do too much intraday trading, but a day like today, the market starts coming unglued a little bit. I might buy some inverse shares or short some futures. And you got to be careful doing that because you don't want to do that and lose money and add insult to injury. But sometimes you can kind of mitigate the damage a little bit that's happening from the open profit drawdowns and from the outright drawdowns that happen. Anyway, so I'll put it out in the group as a potential Ogre in KRMN. Now I'm sitting there watching it, and here's the thing. There's a few lessons in this, okay? One lesson is, as bad as you want something to work, in fact, the more you want it to work, the more you have to be willing to walk away. And so I'm looking at this thing and I'm thinking, this has got like a, it has like a 2-point spread, and there's hardly any trading volume on the day, okay? So everybody's just kind of sitting there trying to figure out what's going to happen. And so I'm like, okay, well, I'm not going to take the trade, but what I am going to do is I'm going to put some alarms and alerts in there, and I'm going to keep a loose eye on it to see if things begin to pick up a little bit. And that spread began to squeeze in a little bit or a lot of bit, and then the volume began to pick up. So I have liquidity. I don't care about volume or don't try to use volume as a predictive device, but if volume is too thin, I don't want to take the trade. So I want to make sure there's some other players that are playing along with me. Anyway, so initially I said the spread's too big. And then a little while later, when things tightened up, I said, hey, this happened kind of quickly. So I ended up saying, oh, I'm long now. So I just let everybody know that I changed my mind on it. We're long. And then I hit the initial profit target, and that's a smoke 'em if you got 'em there. So anyway, let's take a look at that. Now, again, this is a 5-minute. We'll take a look at 30-minute in a second. But you can see almost a textbook kind of opening gap reversal. It had this one little tick up, but then kind of implode. So it's like, okay, right there, it's like, okay, now we're in pretty good shape. So we got an opening gap reversal, or I'm sorry, we got an opening gap, and then it doesn't reverse right away. It begins to sell off. So that makes everybody think this thing's going to zero. So psychologically, it might pull in some more people. It might pull in some shorts. It might pull in some people to dump the stock who are long, like the heck with it. I'm just going to get out before it gets any worse. And when you have a reversal after the initial fake out, sometimes that could be the real deal. Now, I'm just kind of thinking about this out loud. And it was Kevin Hagerty years ago. And he told me that when they get a new guy in the office, Kevin's no longer with us, but when they get a new guy in the office, he would, they wouldn't let him take the first signal, okay? He had to take the second signal. And he missed a lot of trades, okay? He is a metaphor, whatever, but whoever was new in the office missed a lot of trades. But the trades that they actually took did a little better, okay, overall, higher probability type of trade. So if you're trying to get into the opening gap reversal business, maybe you wait for the stock to gap lower, keep on gapping lower, okay, and then begin to take off. The old adage, the early bird gets the worm, the second mouse gets the cheese. And sometimes these second mouse type trades can do really well. But anyway, opens, sells off hard, tries to rally, comes back in. Now, just looking at a 5-minute chart, and again, if you're on a longer term chart, like a 30-minute chart at least, this becomes a little easier, but it's like it gaps down and it looks like it's coming straight back up. Well, you got to be really careful not to jump in. Ideally, depending on the width of the bar, but ideally, you want to see if that first bar in early trading after a sell-off can be taken out. So anyway, it begins to rally up, and then I waited for it to actually break out above that opening gap range. Okay, so I got long here, and like I said in the Facebook post, I only did 100 shares. I did do a slightly larger position in other accounts, and I did more of a set it and forget it there, and I'll discuss that in just one second. But because I was just long only 100 shares in this particular case, I just put it a trailing stop of about 2 points. And I just let it go. Okay. Now, when I was up about 5 points in the stock later today, it's like, Dave, even though it's a small share size, it's kind of, there's a temptation when you're trading smaller size, like, just screw it, just let it go and see what happens. But I thought to myself, I was like, well, you don't want to start getting a little bit pregnant here and there. You can't get a little bit pregnant. So it's still best practice to still take partial profits, even if you're on a small position. Sometimes I'll do like, I'll have like an S&G trade, two contracts on something, some options or something like XSP or something like that, a zero DTE. And I'll just think to myself, Dave, you only have 20 bucks in this trade. Who cares? But then I was like, no, I'm going to put in an order for when I'm up 40 bucks on a trade to take off half the trade so I get a free ride. And that sort of conditions me to keep doing the right thing. That's a good rep, as I talked about ad nauseum. Go in and watch those presentations if you have time. But trading is all about getting the reps in, but they have to be good reps. It's not like chasing your tail and hitting the button like the rat for the cocaine or whatever. It's more of getting a good rep in, trading in a conceptually correct manner, getting your money management down, getting your mindset right, accepting, boy, accepting is a big one, accepting the open profit drawdowns and all those other features, so to speak, that come with trading. But anyway, so I was like, you know what, Dave, you're up $5 on this, and the initial profit target should have only been two, okay? So that would have been $100. But I was like, let's let it ride. It's 100 shares. You know, you could debate that like it just did. But ideally, you do want to follow a plan, even at small size. And then I was out the rest on the close. Now, last week, I talked about the Ron Popeil Showtime Rotisserie, set it and forget it, chicken cooker, right, type of trading. And I did, in another account, use a 2-point, I think it was, I had a couple hundred shares, not a whole lot, but I had a couple hundred shares. And I used a 2-point stop and a 2-point initial profit target. And I set a limit for 100, 2 points up. And then I had a trailing stop for 2 points down. Okay. And when that limit gets hit, there's nothing else to do once you put those orders in. In fact, if you put those orders in and the limit gets hit, that trailing stop is going to take you out. If it doesn't take you out, you just get out by the close. So you can see I exited on the close. There's the actual trades there I took. This is in my model account. I will do the ogres and any other thing I throw out to my Facebook group. By the way, if you see me throw something out to Facebook, to the Facebook group, it's something that I'm seriously considering. And then I'll tell you whether or not I'm taking it, provided it doesn't, you know, trigger quickly or something like this one did. But anyway, so 280 on the first loaf, 274 on the second loaf. That was on the close. That was only 100 shares, but that's $500, $550. It's better than a poke in the eye. Now, I hate to do the fuzzy math, but let's do a little fuzzy math. If you could do that every day, and you can't, believe me, but just to get your head wrapped around annualization, that would be like 140,000, probably 139 and change, but close enough, $140,000 extra. Obviously, you can't do this every day. But if you waited, an opportunity like this will present itself. And again, you can't just look at it and say, oh, spread's too big, I'm not going to take it, and then go about your life. You need to put in maybe an alert. And I think that's what I did. I put an alert for when it began to break out, so I would check it once again. And by that time, the spread began to narrow. Anyway, I think it would behoove you to use a slightly longer term chart. And I found this by complete accident, and that's how I worked my way up to 30 minute charts. And so you can see it's a little more cut and dry. That first 30 minute bar, if you look at the 5 minute bar, it's just doing this, okay? But if you look at the 30 minute bar and you're not watching every tick, it's like, oh, okay, it looks like it sold off fairly hard the first 30 minutes, and then it begins to work its way higher. And when it breaks out above that opening range, a la Toby Crable opening range breakout, you look to get long. All right, any questions on all that? I'm going to go ahead and jump into crypto real quick. There's not a whole lot to do in crypto, and I've been a little lax. I've been super busy lately, and because crypto hasn't been phenomenal, I've been less inclined to do my homework there. And I really should. I know that's kind of a shame thing, and that's another one of those million little things that I should be doing, is I should be doing my crypto analysis day after day after day. So here we have Bitcoin. Bitcoin's been a disappointment lately. A friend of mine at the gym, oh, it's on sale, I'll buy more. I'm like, no. No, I'd rather buy it at 128 than at 100. Okay. Why? Well, because it's going down. Because you could argue like, oh, well, I'd barely buy at 120, 128. Well, now it's you've lost 20% or more on that trade. But now you have a ton of overhead supply. I don't know why it's doing this. Maybe somebody could tell me a reason. I'm not sure I really care. I look at markets from a supply and a demand standpoint. And I think as soon as you do that and only that, and not confuse the issue with facts and worry about the situation in Nigeria or whatever else, your life becomes a lot easier. It's classic Dave Landry. Anyway, you can see tons of overhead supply. This thing looks like it's headed lower. If you put a bow tie in there, I'm sure the bow tie would be a downtrend proper water. If you look at the Landry Light, you have lots and lots and lots of Landry Light below. Let's see if I can pull that up on the fly. I have this low in the background. Any questions yet? So if we take a look at the Landry Light with Bitcoin, you can see now we're mostly red, okay? Well, mostly red is not a good thing, okay? Mostly red, avoid it. Mostly green's okay. Green and red alternating, what does that mean? Choppy, 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 okay? Green, mostly green, good. Red, mostly red, bad. I'm doing a presentation for MetaSoc tomorrow, and I'm gonna dust off my little Tarzan man and Tarzan speak, okay? Green, good, okay? Red, bad. Red and green, choppy. But right now, this is a market that you really want to avoid. Do not look at it as on sale, whatever you do. Let's take a look at Ethereum. Ethereum, kind of same thing there. Selling off fairly hard. I have a pullback. If anything, that looks like a short, okay? Maybe stop out above the pullback. Maybe stop out at the 30 EMA, okay? Let's see how that works. Just for S&Gs, 3297 shorted right now, and then stop out at the 30 EMA. We'll see what happens, okay? As opposed to bottom fishing now and hoping it goes up. Now, as I've said quite a bit, and usually just look at Bitcoin as your bellwether. And if Bitcoin's doing well, you can come in here and buy the pairs that are pretty much just going straight up. Now, ideally, you do want to look for Landry Light pullbacks and some sort of setup. But again, sometimes you can just buy these ones again that are going straight up. And right now is not that time. Now, I just said I've been a little lax. I really hadn't been doing my homework. And I don't think I've missed a whole lot, but all you need is one or two now and then. But it is important. I don't want to talk important, as the kids say. It is important to ideally make sure Bitcoin is moving too. And you can see this, there's nothing for me to do because most of these pairs are headed lower. Crypto's in a bear market. Okay, the crypto bull bear cycle could be 6 to 8 weeks as opposed to 6 to 8 years for the stock market. Okay, so you can learn trading fairly quickly in crypto because you'll live through these cycles, the good, the bad, the ups and downs. You have to go through all these cycles. In stocks, it can take a while. I've known people, believe it or not, who come into the markets when the markets are going down and their first trade was short, which is crazy, right? And they get so used to shorting and they just get sucked into the short side. And then they become a perma bear, and when the market turns around, they don't know what hit them. Vice versa, obviously, usually happens more often. Somebody comes in a great momentum period. Let's say you started trading this summer. Oh, summers are bad for trading, but you should tell them to go away. But let's say you did, you ignored that advice, right? And you started trading this summer. I trade summers, by the way. And you printed money since the summer. Well, now the market's getting a little bit iffy here and there, especially with today's action, okay? Then it's like, again, you don't know what hit you. And you can't, the other thing too is you can't fall in love with your positions. And there's a bit of an heirloom effect, okay? If you get into the behavioral science or behavioral finance, whatever you want to call it. Whereas if you've owned something for a while, you tend to become attached to it. So you've got to be careful. And sometimes you have to just say goodbye to your darlings. All right, any crypto pairs you guys want to take a look at? I doubt there's anything in crypto, but I need to be doing my homework anyway, just in case, because you never know when that new trade is going to come along. All right, let's take a look at stocks and drill down a little bit. Well, there's that KRMN. Look, it's imploding today. So this is why we only do these as an intraday type of trade. S&P 500 getting whacked today. So in the market in a minute, I probably seemed a little bit more bullish than I'm sounding now. Now, this is not the end of the world, okay? But you've got a market that came down, tested support, tested this little range here, pulled back to where its last pullback was, right? Began to take off, and it wasn't too far from all-time highs, but in today's action, makes it look a little bit more iffy, okay? Now, don't rush out and sell all your stocks. Just honor your stops just in case. Pay attention to something longer term, like the TFM 10% system, okay? And if you take a look at a weekly chart, things still look pretty good, just a little bit of a knockout move last week. And other than that, it still looks pretty darn good. So every now and then, take that 30,000-foot view and see what's happening. NASDAQ Composites, even worse than the P's, down about 1.75% today. That's looking fairly ugly. Coming back into its prior range, or looking pretty ugly. How's that for an oxymoron from a trend-following moron? But you can see it's pulled back into its range, so we might have to pull our horns in a little bit. In fact, here's what's kind of interesting. I haven't seen a whole lot of setups to get excited about lately, and I've been telling my peeps, no action today, no action today. Let's just sit on our hands. Let things shake out. Let's see what the next round of setups brings. And we have some kind of somewhat vicious sector rotation going on. We'll get to it in just 1 second. So that's one reason I've been preaching that is the database just hasn't been producing a lot. And it pays to listen to the database. So in a case like this, you listen to the database, and it's the database is telling you, is saying, hey, there's no setups to be taken, so I'm not going to take any setups. And a lot of times when that happens, the market will implode shortly thereafter, and you'll say, oh, that's why I needed to be patient. Russell 2000, or the Rusty as we call it, it's a bit of a bummer. It made it to the middle of its range recently, okay, and now it's selling off hard back down to the bottom of its range. I'm working on a presentation for tomorrow with MetaStock. Let me know if you need a link to that. I'd be happy to get it to you. But anyway, I'm working on a webinar tomorrow, and I'm using some slides that I used in a prior presentation, and I have bow ties in there. I'm like, I don't really want to get into bow ties because I kind of want to focus on like the Landry-like pullbacks and the one patterns and these longer-term trend-following setups that we just looked at. But when you get a day like today, well, yesterday I was thinking, okay, do I really want to do that because the market's looking okay? And I'm like, yeah, I want to do that because this market sooner or later won't be okay. And if I get hit by a beer truck and I didn't teach you how to read market turns with the bow ties, okay, and pay attention to these transitions, then you're not going to know what hits you when it happens. So as of today, we've got to be really careful for possible transitions into work. Now, if we come back by the end of the day, maybe things have changed, okay? But one day at a time, just take it slowly. Don't rush out and call tops. I've been seeing some fear mongers out there be calling tops for quite some time. Predict early and often, okay? I'm a trend following moron. I'm going to need a little bit more evidence, okay? And believe it or not, this is one thing that I was kind of shocked by. I learned this from Greg Morris. And it's a little counterintuitive. Tops are usually a process, and bottoms are usually an event. Now, usually is a keyword in that sentence. Everything could happen, you know, anything could happen. The market could crash, obviously. But a lot of times, you just see a market kind of slowly roll over time. And that's where something like a bow tie, even though it has a lot of lag in it, which is actually a good thing, sometimes you want a little lag in the market, right? In your analysis to keep you from chasing your tail. But sometimes that bow tie can gradually roll over the market. So that's kind of a good thing to be cognizant of. Some areas like defense look like they're kind of topping out in here. Some other areas have already topped out, like the home builders, you can see. Pretty serious roll over there. So far, just pulling back, beginning to sell off out of that pullback. Telecom's been questionable as of late, kind of rolling over. Financials have been mostly sideways for quite some time. Banks have been pretty weak there. You could see mostly sideways. They did try to rally up yesterday to get closer to the old highs, but now they're kind of looking like a head and shoulder top. Now, what would negate that? We take out this peak here. Just like I've been saying this morning, I felt a little better than I do now because the market was not too far from all-time highs. And we'll just use the NASDAQ as an example. You could see this market went down and then it stalled out in its rally based on today's action. Now, today was, we were up here somewhere, then I would say everything's okay. Right now, it's a developing event. We probably need to pay attention. Metals and mining had this really deep retrace. They're looking questionable at best, but so far they've rallied off of it today notwithstanding. So I would keep an eye on this 90 level or thereabouts vis-a-vis the XME. If that gets taken out, I would be of concern there. Gold, the commodity, has been doing really well, rallying nicely out of a fairly deep pullback. And gold stocks have been doing well today notwithstanding as of late. So that's certainly a good thing there. Broker dealer broke out yesterday. That's a good thing, right? They've gone sideways forever, broke out, but then they came right back in today. So we'll keep an eye on that situation. Still bullish on biotech. And look at that. It's making out new highs with a little bit of vigor today in spite of the overall market. So biotech's been doing fantastic. Major drugs have come back from the dead. Look at that. We're at all-time highs. They just absolutely melted up as of late. So we could see some setups here fairly soon. Within the drugs, and, or I should say within health or healthcare and drugs at all, biotech obviously doing well. But some of these areas like healthcare, ETFs, look at that. XLV is not too far away from all-time highs. It's kind of going straight up as of late. So we could see some pullbacks in this area. I saw somebody had a post out earlier about what's causing this healthcare thing. Well, it doesn't really matter, although I have to admit I am kind of curious. Medical devices kind of wide and loose and all over the place, but peeping up to multi-month highs and not too far away from all-time highs. So that's certainly doing better there. Semiconductors have pulled back to their prior breakout levels. They look okay longer term, but I sure would like to see them get away from this prior little base, just like the peas and a lot of other areas out there. Longer term, again, 20,000, 30,000 foot view, just kind of a TKO, and still looks like they have potential to rally higher. So I think that's pretty much it for the sector. Some like AI and quite a few others, like the semis too, have pulled back at their prior breakout levels. As long as the support holds, then they might be okay. But if that support gets taken out, I would be of concern. For instance, like the pullback, that deep pullback of the XME, I'd keep an eye on that. The good thing is, and as I've been telling my peeps, is now we have a little structure to work around, especially in something like the metals, okay? So you know if we take out this low, then this market's probably in trouble. And a little bit with the P's too. If we come below this, if we drop below this consolidation, that would be of concern. If you're looking at the TFM 10% system, put in your 5% zone and keep an eye on that. I wouldn't say sell when you hit that 5% zone or closing at 5% zone, minus 5% from the 50-week closing high. But you might want to pull in your horns a little bit. You might want to be a little bit more selective in your stock picking when that occurs. When the market's banging out new highs every day, you got to be careful, but you could get a little bit more lax in some of these things because everything works. But what separates the men from the boys is when the market gets a little iffy and choppy, and then it becomes a little bit harder. So unfortunately, and check back often, right? But unfortunately for now, the easy part might be over. You're going to watch presentations for the last 6 months, and you're going to be like, God, this guy just prints money, okay? Well, I think that's getting ready to change, and I think that now is the time you're going to have to be on your toes. You're going to have to be selective. The good news is the database already told us, hey, be selective. We did have a few shorts show up recently. I did not take them. I was not really in the mood to short a market when it's just off of all-time highs, okay? Short individual stocks, that is. But that was the database speaking a little bit like, hey, Dave, here's a couple of shorts. What do you think? And it's like, well, I think I'm not going to take them because the market is still doing really well. I want to be a lover, not a fighter, like Leo Bellman once said, okay, when it comes to markets. But now I know why I'm beginning to see some shorts setting up based on today's action. And again, check back often don't get too caught up in one day or the other, but this is the information that we're getting now. Started to look a little bit questionable. Let's just let things shake out. And that's the hardest part as I breach is the waiting. All right, I feel like I'm beginning to filibuster. Any questions on any of that? My apologies for anybody who showed up on YouTube and didn't get a presentation, but again, davelearner.com/webinar. You guys want to look at any individual stocks or anything? Okay. Once, going twice. Well, while we're in impasse, obviously I want to thank everybody for attending. I appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedules to be here. Anything unanswered, dave@davelandry.com. To all of my peeps here in Facebook, in my Facebook group, I'll see you guys in a little while. Everybody else, have a great weekend, and I hope to see you again next week, and may the trend be with you.